The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. I'm Vincent Martello, your host, and today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic and one that's really come to the, you know, to the fore during the COVID pandemic, and that is, you know, food insecurity and reducing food waste. And we are going to be talking with the folks from the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation and their Feed Hudson Valley program. And our guests today are Brianna Merrill. Brianna is Programs Coordinator for the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation. Brianna is a systems thinker motivated by solution-oriented action. For over a decade, she has utilized her passion to support public and private institutions in the healthcare, agriculture, and education industries. Currently, Brianna contributes to various Hudson Valley Area Agribusiness Development Corporation projects, including managing the Feed HV and Incubator Without Walls programs. And we'll hear more about those in the program. Our other guest is Christopher Brachia. Christopher is Program Associate for Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation's Feed HV program. And most of Christopher's professional career has been centered around technology, education, and food. His family has had a long history in the food industry going back four generations. Christopher was born in Albany and raised in Catskill. And here's a very interesting note in Christopher's bio, that Christopher left for a year-long trip around the world in 2014, starting in Saigon, where he fell in love with the city and then opened a motorbike food tour company. And that could be a subject of a whole other show, and we're going to ask Christopher about that anyway. But welcome, Brianna and Christopher.
Thanks for having us.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you here. So, Christopher, before we start on the program, very quickly, what was it like opening a motorbike, a food tour company in Saigon?
That's a big question. It was overwhelming, is probably how I would start. I would not have been able to do it without having, you know, friends and people I was close with on the ground who were familiar there. That absolutely helped to make it possible. But it was really, really eye-opening. It was eye-opening more to, you know, when you travel, you have a lot of expectations about what you're going to see, but mm-hmm. not a lot of people take into consideration that, you know, the people on the receiving end of that, you know, they have the same vision. And it's interesting to see how that either aligns or misaligns. And that's kind of what attracted me to it.
Yeah. It's a learning adventure, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really opens up your perspective.
So cool. Well, thank you for that. So let's get into the topic a little bit. What is Feed Hudson Valley exactly? How did it get started? When, and mostly why?
Yes.
Either one.
Sorry, I was gonna just jump in here. So in 2017, the program started with three counties. Ulster was one of them. It was built around large urban centers. In order to use the technology that we use, we needed to have an impact on a million citizens. So that was how it started, and it has since grown to a 7-county region. The technology that I referred to is going to come up a lot today in our conversation because it really helps us to do what we do. So I just want to take a step back and talk about ChowMatch. It's an application, which is basically a computer program designed to help people perform an activity. And the activity we're trying to perform is to divert edible food from the waste stream and deliver it to local recipients. So Chris definitely has a lot of information about the statistics and the whys to what we're doing, but that's the general overview.
Mm-hmm. And obviously addressing food insecurity is a prime motivator with this. So can you share any facts about food insecurity in the Hudson Valley in general, and particularly in Ulster County?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Hudson Valley, you know, a lot of our neighbors are hungry. It's not always in plain sight. It's estimated that 1 out of 10 of our neighbors in the Hudson Valley is currently experiencing food insecurity. The pandemic did a lot to really exasperate this. It was already a growing problem, especially with rising prices, but the pandemic really brought it out into the public eye. Right now it stands that, you know, 1/3 of children in the region are eligible for free or reduced lunches, which lets you know where we're at in that. So this information comes directly from the poverty report put out by the New York State Community Action Association in 2021. For Ulster County, its poverty rate right now is sitting about 13.8%, 14%. Poverty obviously has a direct correlation to food insecurity. So we really see this becoming a larger problem, and food waste is one of the most, you know, genuine ways and actionable ways that we can really address it and help to try and mitigate it.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of Feed Hudson Valley, Feed HV, is there a particular demographic that it serves, or has that really been expanded now well into the traditional middle class with, you know, with the rising cost of food and energy and what have you?
I think you hit on something important there, Vincent. Like, there are a lot of working poor families that weren't in need of food assistance before and find themselves needing that now. Mm-hmm. So it, the demographic has probably changed. Unfortunately, we don't have direct statistics about who exactly is receiving the food because we work closely with recipient agencies, some of which have those statistics. But in general, I can tell you, children, senior citizens, they tend to be a common demographic, also homeless and folks in recovery. But yes, there's a diverse array of neighbors in need and an expanding group of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we saw during the pandemic here at the health department, I mean, we were, and the county was involved in the Project Resilience, where that we spun up in a huge hurry, meals for people going from a few hundred a week to thousands a week. And it was really amazing the extent of community participation and collaboration on that. And so walk us through the process, if you would, between, food waste excess food that a farm might have, and how you get involved, how the process works and gets to the various agencies that you collaborate with.
Yeah, sure. So we can start with, you know, how do we onboard donors where the food ultimately comes from? Our donors come in a lot of shapes and sizes. We work with a lot of facilities that just experience excess food. The way that we coordinate with them, a lot of them are very willing to give to begin with, but it's still the logistical challenge of coordinating when does that food go out? When does the volunteer pick it up? How does it get to where it's going? And then how is it used from that point? So that's kind of the area that we really try to, you know, segue into, and we try to build up a bridge where we can connect there. The way that it works is if you're a donor, you sign up through ChowMatch. ChowMatch is the application that Brianna mentioned earlier. And what the donor can do from there is the donor will go ahead, enter in their organization's information, the amount of average food donation, what kind of food is it, what days and times are they looking to donate that work for them, where is the pickup location? And from that, they can schedule a run, and it notifies our pool of volunteers that a run is ready. Mm-hmm. So when you get the notification that's run is ready, it lets you know that the food is coming from here and it's going to here. Here are the times that you can pick it up. Here are the times that it can be delivered. As soon as a volunteer accepts that, everyone's notified that that's been connected. So now the volunteer can bring it from the donor to the agency that receives it. And we cut out all of the legwork, all of the logistics. ChowMatch, again, the application does a lot of very heavy lifting for that.
Wow, that's really cool. Is that a commercial application, or did some nonprofit or some interested group of tech people make that available to nonprofits?
So the program started in, the application was developed in San Francisco, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. The gentleman's wife is involved in food rescue. So he created the application for her needs and then has since marketed it across the country.
How cool that is. And can you describe some of the, give us some examples of you know, the types of donor organizations? I imagine that supermarkets are involved in restaurants.
Yeah. Emmanuel's, especially smaller grocery stores, larger grocery stores tend to donate to the food bank, but the niche that we fill is more of the specialty grocers. So Emmanuel's is a regular donor. Also, we have a number of large institutional donors. For example, in Ulster County, that would be like SUNY New Paltz. Mm-hmm. And then we also have, you know, some farms in Ulster County too that are donating, like Alewife and Kingston. So there's a range of, like Chris said, different types of donors.
Mm-hmm. And the receiving agencies.
Yeah. You know, Boys and Girls Club, People's Place. There's a number of and a diverse array of agencies in Ulster County. Right now, we have some 58 donors in Ulster County and 31 wow. recipient agencies.
That's amazing.
Yeah, really, I mean, not all are like active like all the time, but they are registered and interested in the movement. Mm-hmm. There's also 155 Ulster volunteers, which is pretty amazing too.
That is really amazing. And I know our listeners want to hear a lot more about this. It's so great that you're doing this work. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guests today are Brianna Merrill, who's Programs Coordinator for the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation, and she runs the Feed Hudson Valley program and incubator Without Walls, and Christopher Brachia, who's program associate for the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation's Feed HV program. So Brianna and Christopher, before the break, we talked about how the organization got started, generally who it serves, who are some of the donors, some of the receiving agencies. Now, agriculture is behind tourism is the second largest industry in Hudson Valley. So there are a lot of family farms and, you know, and organizations like the Round Out Valley Growers Association that, you know, grow quite a bit of food and donate, I imagine, quite a bit of food, but it's not always like a consistent quantity on a, you know, consistent year round basis. I imagine that it comes in waves. So how do you manage to accommodate those large donations at a given time and you know, be able to distribute it out to your receiving agencies so that they can actually handle it well?
Vincent, you bring up a great point. We are really lucky to be in such an agriculturally rich place, and there is abundance seasonally, for sure. And I think the key here has always been collaboration. In Ulster County specifically, we work closely with Ulster Corps and folks over at the Farm Hub. They do amazing work with gleaning and processing. They have, transportation and storage infrastructure that really allows them to make large impacts. So we rely heavily on our partners in a number of counties along Table Harvest in Dutchess and Columbia, and the Gleanmobile, which is a Cornell Cooperative Extension program in Orange County, but they also serve Ulster and Sullivan. Everybody is kind of chipping in and working together to try to fill some of the processing, transportation, and storage infrastructure gaps that exist. Mm-hmm. So I would say collaboration is key to handle the abundance when it's here.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a big fleet with your organization, or do you Do you just kind of lease trucks as you need them, or how does that work?
Believe it or not, Vincent, all of what we do, which is on average about 100,000 pounds a year, it is all done by volunteers. So sedans, occasionally, you know, if we have a larger run, it will be a truck or an SUV. But our fleet is 300 volunteers, and they show up and move the food on their own dime and in their own vehicles.
Wow, that's totally amazing. That's so great.
Yeah,
that is so great. So we talked a little bit about, you know, the challenges with the pandemic, and here at the health department, we've been at ground zero of the COVID pandemic for, I want to say, the last 27 months plus. You know, and one of really across the board with, you know, chronic diseases, with opioid use disorder. All of those have been vastly exacerbated by COVID, you know, due to not only food insecurity, but housing insecurity, employment, health concerns, social isolation, all of those things. Talk to us a little bit, though, about specifically about the food insecurity part and the impact that you've seen out there during this during the COVID pandemic time, and maybe some of the lessons some of the challenges and maybe lessons learned.
So things changed rapidly and frequently. I think we can all remember. So again, we really utilized our network connections. The strength of the Feed HB program is the network, you know, all of those donors, agencies, and volunteers. So we had to respond creatively as things occurred, and collaboratively. It really affected us in a number of ways. I think one example that can demonstrate how it affected our program, and I think, Vincent, too, you might be kind of curious about the recipients and how they were impacted by the pandemic, and maybe yeah. You have some statistics on that. But for the program itself, like IBM was an awesome regular donor for us. They were a large institution. They were responsive and they were great. When the pandemic hit, they closed their doors. So they reached out to us. We helped them clear out and save all of the food in their refrigeration. Then, you know, they stayed closed for a while, so we didn't have donations. When they did open their doors again, they had switched their model to being an online model. So employees could, you know, it was cooked to order. So there is now no food waste. So it affected our program in that type of way, where large regular donors adjusted their cooking models, cooking service approach, which resulted in less donations for us in some ways. But then also creates new opportunities, and we're stepping into those, and we could talk maybe more about that. We were also able to support our volunteers with, you know, masks and hand sanitizer and all of that stuff early on. So the pandemic affected us internally with having to create, obviously, new programs and approaches and processes. And it affected our donor base. As far as the populations that we serve, maybe Chris, you could speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, there's not one face that's really going to define food insecurity in the Hudson Valley. One of the things that I keep hearing from, you know, recipient agencies, they keep talking about one of the big outfalls from the pandemic is you're not seeing what you would expect to be the traditional demographic showing up. A lot of people sitting comfortably in the middle class, all of a sudden, on top of, you know, we're already experiencing this crunch in the Hudson Valley on every angle, everything's going up. I mean, everyone who lives here knows it. That was really, really, really brought into acuteness by the pandemic. People that, you know, were comfortable before are now really trying to figure out how do they make ends meet. And food insecurity is one of the first things that starts rearing its head. And there isn't really any donors that are producing this excess food waste that don't want to see it go to someone who's going to eat it. A lot of it is just about, you know, another effect of the pandemic was our supply chain and our labor chain vulnerabilities were really, really exposed. And we're still suffering from that. If you go to any food establishment now, you go to production facilities, everybody's short staffed. Nobody seems to be able to find workers. And on top of it, that makes it incredibly hard for them to pursue these other projects because they're working on such limited bandwidth to begin with.
Right.
So what we really try to do is, you know, there really isn't one face that really sums it up. For Ulster, though, particularly, one of the things that I always come back to is if you look at families that have a female head of household and there's a child present, they're sitting about 32% in poverty. And that's always a direct correlation with food insecurity.
Yeah,
it's very rare that doesn't add up. So our main focus and our main goal is really trying to find a way to make it possible for the donors to contribute what's already going into food waste. You know, in the country alone, we waste between 30 and 40% of the food supply, and that's straight from the FDA. You know, it's $161 billion worth of food every year that's being wasted. That's 133 billion pounds. That's 133 billion meals. That's just a staggering number.
Wow. Well, with that, I mean, it's good in one sense in that there's food to donate, right? But on the other, it's got to be costing these companies a lot of money to waste that much food if they're not, you know. And I think, Brianna, you described IBM tightening up their model to produce, to cook on demand. Are you seeing other companies? I mean, because you see that, you know, you see in American industry, you see this on time, you know, delivery, on time supply chain. And trying to cut out like excess inventory and excess waste. Are you seeing the trend of companies doing that? Or is it just because you're dealing with like smaller organizations that might not have that level of expertise to be able to trim down their, you know, the how they manage their food supply?
We are seeing it across a number of institutions. Another example is schools. Mm-hmm. Schools seem to be employing this technology. Kids can kind of, you know, or kids' parents, I guess, could go online to say when they want a meal and when they don't. So we have mm-hmm. much less, usually before spring break or something like that, we would get large donations. And that's not happening in the same way that it did before COVID.
And Christopher, you know, on your point, you know, even before the pandemic, you know, the United Way did a report called, the acronym is ALICE, Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed, basically talking about the working families and how in Ulster County, and this was like, I'd say about like 5 years ago, it said that for a family of four to just survive in Ulster County required a household income of $74,000 a year. Survive, thrive was 110,000, and yet the median household income hovers around 64,000. So many, you know, the majority of families in Ulster County are under the survivability threshold. And then, you know, you get a pandemic and it really throws everything off. However, the work that you all are doing is amazing and so valuable. And, you know, I really thank you and your colleagues for doing it. It's really amazing. And before we run out of time completely, how do people get in touch with you if they want to volunteer, donate, or what have you?
Please visit our website. It's feedhv.org. Also, feel free to call or email or text us. My number is 518-965-4145. Chris, you want to share your phone number too?
Yeah, my phone number is 518-267-0911. If you are interested, really, text, call, always looking for volunteers. You know, this really isn't possible without our volunteers. They make everything work.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and there's a number of ways to volunteer. We had mentioned a little bit about the SurfPlus. We post gleaning opportunities with our partners. There's obviously food delivery. Leads to, like, if you have an idea about a potential donor, passing along that lead or any connection that you have is invaluable. We spend a lot of time with outreach, but actually having a strong potential is invaluable.
Eyes and ears out there. So listeners, what are you waiting for? Feedhv.org, right?
That's right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Great work. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.